Good morning, everybody. Today's reading will be coming from the book of Psalms, and we're up to Psalm 42 today. Psalm 42. For the director of music, a maskil for the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the lands of the Jordan, the heights of the Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. You can say Happy New Year back, or just, you know, yeah, there you go. Some of you guys are awake. Well, welcome to 2021. You guys, we made it. Let's give ourselves a round of applause. We made it through 2020. How good is that? How good is that? I love seeing Samantha Yarrow's post this week. Samantha and Jamin are marked safe from 2020. How good's that? There's been some good memes, haven't there, of 2020. Here's a couple of my favourites. If 2020 were a piñata, yeah. If 2020 were a fruit, here's my favourite one. This one cuts deep. If 2020 were a slide, yeah. I've got little kids. Oh. But rather than looking forward this morning to 2021 and what that could be, I thought we might take a little walk down memory lane and go back deep into the past, way back into ancient history, way back into the year known as 2019. You know, remember back before those days, you know, before we could see the inside of our boss's nostrils on Zoom meetings. Remember before those days? You know, remember before those days when, you know, we actually didn't really care about politicians' press conferences, you know, back when Melbourne and Sydney were kind of places we want to go to for holidays. Maybe a bit too soon, I don't know. But remember back before the days when, you know, there were names like Xash A12. You know, that when that wasn't really a baby's name. That's Elon Musk's baby, Xash A12. That's his name. Or her name. I don't even know the gender, but that's crazy, right? You know, I mean, that was a narrow, we had a baby this year, Lily, her name was, Xash A12. Didn't quite make the short list, it was close. But, oh, back, remember before the days when homeschooling was actually, you know, a parental decision rather than a national expectation. Can you guys remember those days? Or remember, maybe you can remember a time when New South Wales won the State of Origin. Hey, back in 2019, go the Blues, the good old days, 2019, and how we wish we could get back there, pre-COVID. Yeah, I'm sure you're not the only one in the room that feels like that. But hey, I want to get serious right now, because the truth is that, you know, for many of us, thinking back even as recently as 2019, it reminds us of a time before a lot of hardship. You know, I know many of you this year have faced a lot of hardship. Many of you have had health challenges this year. Many of you have had time spent with loved ones that are actually now no longer with you. Perhaps there's times back then when marriage or relationships were in a better place, with friendships at school or uni that sort of weren't severed. Perhaps there were times when you're feeling less lonely. So when you look back as recently as 2019, do you remember much better times with nostalgia. And now we're entering a new year, 2021, but simply changing the date, you know, the calendar's flicked over, that doesn't eliminate our feelings and our feelings of discouragement, does it? You know, fireworks or lack thereof and party vibes, you know, they can't really change our circumstances. You know, it doesn't matter how many social media posts we read about how 2021 is going to be better. It doesn't actually make things better, does it? Life, it's hard. Life sucks sometimes. You know, often we say to ourselves, where is God in this picture? We might even cry out to God, where are you? Do you even care? Well, this morning we're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 42 that Kieran read, written by someone that knows what it's like to be downhearted, knows what it's like to be discouraged and in a time of sorrow. And the truth is, whether that's you this morning right now or not, we all face times like this. We'll all be discouraged. We'll all feel down. There'll be times in our lives where our circumstances don't flood our hearts with joy and positive vibes. And some of you here this morning, I know you've been walking this journey for a long time. Many of you have faced deep discouragement and despair far greater than I can even imagine. And so this morning, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to give you 10 tips on how to have a happy and successful 2021. I'm not even going to say how to avoid disappointment. And so rather than give you some tips, this morning, my prayer is that together, as we look at this psalm, Psalm 42, that the wisdom that we receive today will be helpful for navigating times of discouragement as we read and hear from God's word. So let me pray. Join with me as we pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much that we have so much to learn about navigating times of sorrow and despair. Thank you, Jesus, that you know what it is like to experience sorrow, hardship, loneliness, anxiety. Lord, teach us this morning about what it looks like to live as your people, even when we face times of great discouragement. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things that I find most compelling about the Bible is just how real it is. You know, it's not just this book with, you know, they all live happily ever after. It's not just this book of kind of inspirational, pithy sayings and Instagrammable quotes. No, it's actually a book about reality, about the ups and downs and twists and turns of life. And here in Psalm 42, it doesn't shy away from the reality of evil or of hurt, of pain and suffering. When you read the Bible, it doesn't pretend that life is just this unrealistic utopia. It describes the successes, the failures, the ups and downs, people trying to seek and follow God and yet failing, people feeling distant and cold and apathetic and hurt. And God's grace is continually there, though, to those who monumentally mess things up. I love that the Bible doesn't shy away from these things. And so this psalm this morning that Kieran read, have a look, if you open it back up, and have a look at actually the italics, just even before verse 1. You know, these italics are actually found in ancient copies. They're not sort of English subheadings that they add in later. They're important. There's even a debate whether they're inspired words of God. We can chat about that later. But it tells us something interesting and helpful about this psalm. It's on the screen as well. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. See, this poem, it's meant to be sung. A maskil, there's debate about what that means, but it might mean a song that instructs or a song that's wisely crafted. And the sons of Korah, they were worship leaders in the Old Testament. Chronicles says that the sons of Korah, they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. This is a song that's to be passionately sung. So this psalm, what's it about? It's about a man who finds himself exiled in the land of the Jordan. We see that there in verse 6. See, God's people, they had been kicked out of the promised land, handed over to their enemies, to the kingdom of Assyria, and then later Babylon. And this man, he longs to return to the days where he worshipped his God with shouts of joy and praise. Check out verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. So this man, he wants to go back in time when things were better. Not back to 2019, but back. He craves the time when he could worship in the house of God again. See, in verse 4, he wants to be under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise. But instead, here he is, suffering, taunted by his enemies, as we read in verse 3 and verse 10, saying to him, "Where is your God?" It's the song of a man crying out from circumstances that we read repeatedly that leads his soul downcast. We see that there three times. My soul, why are you downcast? My soul is downcast with me. See, this word soul, it's a holistic word. It means more than just your spirit. It means yourself, your mind, your heart. It encapsulates your passions, your feelings. It's really the heart of who you are. And so his soul, it's downcast. It's not just that he had a bad day. It's this deep disposition of discouragement. I don't know if you noticed when Kieran read it to us before, there's no resolution of the psalm. There's no happy ending where they all live happily ever after. And so in verse 11 and back in verse 1, like people think that Psalm 42 and 43 actually are actually one psalm, you know, because it keeps this refrain about why my soul are you downcast. And you can see that if you've got a Bible on Psalm 43, the very last verse, verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? See, many people think that this actually should be one psalm that's read together. But in fact, even if that is the case, there's still no resolution at the end of Psalm 43. There's no happy ending. I don't know if that surprises you at all. I'm not sure what you think about the Bible, what you think about what Christians believe. It's not just kind of, you know, wishful thinking that things are going to be better. You know, it's not normally how inspirational readings, is it, to not have a resolution, a song of praise where circumstances haven't really changed. So here in Psalm 42, the psalmist hopes he rests not in the circumstances, but in his Savior and his God. He reminds himself there and us in verse 5 and verse 11 in this chorus-like moment to put his hope in God. Not in different circumstances, but in his Savior. And so the same is true for us today. Our hope, it doesn't rest in a better 2021. I mean, I hope for us that 2021 is better. But even if it's not, we can't put our hope in circumstances. You know, in fact, some of us may end up having a worse year in 2021 than 2020. But the hope for humanity does not rest in this year. Not even in next year. Our hope rests in Jesus. See, Jesus on the cross, he gave up his life to forgive sinners like you and I. He came to bring true and lasting peace to this world. And this picture of peace, it's better than what any government or NGO or corporation or task force or university could muster up. He came to bring peace and peace for our soul, where we'll feel a complete and true joy, where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, all the hurts, all the heartaches, not just of 2020, but of our entire lives. No more depression, no more disease, no more despair, debt, or disappointment. And Jesus, he knows what these feel like. He entered into your pain in this world on the cross, and he will take it away. And our hope, it's in Jesus. He's going to make things new, make things perfect. And so no matter what happens in this life, because of Jesus, a day is coming where ultimately we will see the face of God and live with him forever. We'll be celebrating. It'll be the ultimate family reunion without gossip, without awkwardness or shame. This, friends, this is good news. This is our hope. But it's more than just waiting around for this. The hope is that actually God is with us now. See, God doesn't promise us an easy life. In fact, this psalm and the whole Bible shows us that life is going to be hard. There's going to be deep times of discouragement. But knowing that our hope rests in Jesus, I want us to look at four things quickly that shows us about living as God's people in times of discouragement. All right, so firstly, because of the gospel, don't trust your feelings. See, our culture places a lot of emphasis on feelings. And how we feel, it's so important to who we are. You know, when you have to make a big decision, people say, well, as long as you feel right about it, you know, as long as you have a sense of peace, as long as you're being true to yourself, you know, does it just feel right to you? Our feelings, they're unreliable. You know, sometimes we're hungry, so we aren't hungry, and yet we know we need to eat. Sometimes, you know, we aren't tired, and we know we need to sleep. And sometimes we just don't feel like loving our husbands, our wives, our parents, our kids, our friends. And yet, deep down, we know we're committed to them. And lots of ways, similar here in Psalm 42, there's this disconnect between how the psalmist feels and what he knows about reality. Check out verse 9. He says to God, "Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" He's saying, "Hey God, why don't you come down here and give these enemies of mine a big kick in the pants? You know, it sure feels like these border restrictions that have been placed on my life, you know, they're causing a real downer on my life. I can't see family and it really sucks. And you're off holidaying over the other side of the world." You remember when ScoMo was criticized about being in Hawaii during the bushfires? You know, God, he doesn't seem like he's being with his people. Has he forgotten about his people? Now, compared to the days of the temple when Israel were able to worship God and gather and sing shouts of praise and joy, it really looks and feels like God has abandoned them. But even though that's how he feels, deep down, the psalmist knows that his feelings can't be trusted. Because only two verses earlier, he's expressed incredible confidence that God is in control, even in the midst of circumstances. He says in verse 7, "All your waves and breakers have swept over me." God's waves and breakers, he says, not his enemy's waves and breakers, not the devil's waves and breakers, your waves, God's waves. See, the psalmist knows that God is in control. He knows that God loves him, and God knows about those circumstances that are causing his soul to be downcast. They're the waves and breakers of God. They're God's sovereign purposes playing out in his life. See, that's 2020, right? We don't know why all these things happen this year. But if you're a Christian, we know that actually God is in control. We don't have all the answers now, but God is speaking to us. See, despite how things look and feel, the psalmist knows that his feelings can't be trusted, that his Savior God has not abandoned him. You know, I think it can be so easy for Christians sometimes to, you know, feel ashamed of how we really feel. You know, even at church, you know, we kind of walk in and we kind of get out of the car and we sort of put on a painted smile sometimes. When deep down there's junk going on in our lives, deep down there's real pain. And we sort of feel like we need to kind of muster up courage to sort of pretend things are okay. The psalmist doesn't do that. He's very real about his struggles and hurts and pains. You know, maybe you've been coming here for a while and you felt insecure. You felt like you couldn't measure up to those other Christians. But here in God's Word, the Bible, we see the psalmist, he's open about what he feels because he knows that God is in control. See, I like helping people, but I also like quick fixes to problems. You know, once I was running late to a party and I was ironing my shirt and I thought, I know what I can do. Here's what I can do. I won't kind of finish ironing my shirt on the ironing board. What I'll do is I'll just put it on and I'll just like iron the rest of it on me. That's a good idea. I'll save 30 seconds that way. Bad idea. I burnt myself. I had a little scar there for a little while. It's gone now, but yeah, dumb Mike. But hey, Bates, sadly, I've also burnt people when I've seen creases in their life and I tried to give them quick fixes. You know, I've said to people, hey, go read this Bible verse and you'll feel better. Go check it. You got doubts? Hey, go check out this book about the reliability of Jesus. And yeah, all your doubts will go away. Now these things, you know, they're helpful, right? But the problem is I just threw them at people. I rushed the process. Like the shirt that needed to be laid down first, I needed to take time to actually sit with people and understand and acknowledge their feelings. You know, their feelings of doubt, is God really there? They might not be theologically right, but in this psalm, that's how they feel. So before correcting their theology, let's acknowledge how people are feeling. Let's be a community where it's safe to express doubts and hurts and pains. And over the last 3 years, I want to say, you know, I'm finishing up here soon. I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that's been the way that I've dealt with you. I'd love to chat with you and pray with you and I'd love your forgiveness if that's what I've done to you. I'm so sorry. But the psalmist's feelings, they can't be trusted. But they need to be acknowledged so that then we can move on to the reality. You know, one of the most helpful things that I've heard about, walking alongside other people is to remember that when they express their feelings, that they're right. That they are expressing something true about their experience, about themselves. But guys, let's not be quick to jump into the words of a despairing brother or sister. You know, let's help people be willing to just be there with others. Let's allow time to show what the deep convictions of the heart are. Let's pray for people and ask for God's Spirit to change us. Feelings can't be trusted. Don't trust your feelings. But here's three encouragements that we can do from this psalm out of the gospel. Preach to yourself. Now, I don't know if you talk to yourself out loud, if you're kind of a verbal processor like me. You know, we all speak to ourselves, right? Some of us just sort of do it in our heads. Others like me speak out loud. You know, the other day, my parents were over, and I was just kind of trying to work out what time I need to leave the house. And I was kind of saying, okay, I leave at 5:30, I'll get there at 6. I was just kind of talking like this. I often do that with time. I don't know why I do it with time, but that's kind of a quirk that I do. And my mom says, oh, are you talking to the microwave? No, I wasn't talking to the microwave, I was talking to myself. I need to kind of think things out loud sometimes. Now, in this psalm, that's sort of what he's doing. He's verbally processing what's going on. In this chorus, in verse 5 and verse 11, we see the psalmist, he's preaching to himself. He's speaking truths that he's feeling. So he's speaking truths that he's not necessarily feeling because they're truths about reality. Now, in the midst of despair, he preaches to himself. Check out verse 5. He says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" That's his feeling. That's what he's going on right now. And this is what he says to himself. He says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And again in verse 11, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Again, he preaches to himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." He preaches to himself because he needs to know the reality about who God is and his faithfulness. You know, writing about this psalm, 20th century Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, he writes this profound reflection that should pop up on the screen. He says, "The main trouble in this whole matter of spiritual depression," which is sort of the emotion that what's going on in this psalm, is this, that we allow our self-talk to us, we allow ourselves to talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. We allow ourselves to talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. Now, this man's treatment was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" His soul has been repressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, "Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you." What he's saying there is he's taking control of this voice inside his head. He's not being dominated by these thoughts. He's speaking the truth back to himself. So when you face spiritual discouragement, like the psalmist here, preach the gospel to yourself, knowing that all Christ has done for you, this side of the cross. Brother, sister, preach the good news to yourself. Use that voice inside your head, or even like me, speak out loud. You know, maybe in the mirror in the morning or before you go to bed, say to yourself, "Self, listen for a moment, for I'll speak to you." Now, you could use Romans 8 and do this. You could say, "Mike, if God is for us, who can be against us? Mike, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us graciously all things? You know, Mike, who's going to bring any charge against those God has chosen? No one. Jesus died more than that. Jesus was raised to life. He's at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Mike, put your hope in God, for you will yet praise him, your Savior and your God." So preach the gospel to yourself, but don't just preach it. Secondly, sing it. Sing the gospel to yourself. In the midst of despair, the psalmist sings through the night. Check out verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Singing can bring the soul encouragement that sometimes little else can. You know, God's gift of music is so much more than just entertaining concerts. You know, music, it gives us the ability to connect and move the emotions. Sometimes when feelings don't match what we know to be true, music can minister to the soul in unique ways. You know, at church, we could just kind of recite or chant words in a monotone voice. We could do that. But actually, there's something unique and powerful about when we sing, about when we put words to melody, to music, to chords. It's why we go to gigs. It's why we go to musicals. It's why TV shows and movies, they care about soundtracks. Music moves us. And so many songs in the Psalms, they're written actually about songs of lament, of sadness. And we don't know the kind of original soundtrack, but, you know, it'd be sad. It would be meant to stir our hearts and emotions, help us be reflective. You know, when the darkness of life sets in, when I'm feeling downcast, overwhelmed, when my feelings don't reflect the realities that I know to be true, singing can do things of soul encouragement that little else can. Little else can. You know, I can sing to God, and when I sing to God, it doesn't always have to be, you know, happy, clappy songs. But real songs like this, Psalm 42, and real songs that we sing at Christ Central too, like we sung this morning, this beautiful song. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life has led me to the grave. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Amen. Amen. There you go. 5-year amen. That's good. That's a start. Good work. I know we're Presbyterian, but that's all right. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now songs, right? Songs are such a powerful way to remind, you know, a weary and anxious heart of truths that feel distant. There's an Iranian pastor's wife. Her name is Takush Hovispain. I might not have pronounced that correctly. So she's the widow of a pastor in Iran who was killed for refusing to comply with the rules imposed on churches by the Islamic government. Now, we think we've got it hard here, you know, with social distancing, that kind of stuff. In Iran, man, her husband died. And so writing about these dark days following the discovery that her husband had been killed, Takush, she writes this. She says, "In the dark, despondent days after Haik's martyrdom, some young girls from our church in Tehran sometimes came to our house and sung to us. And I found it really hard to sing. Whenever I tried, I choked and out came the tears. But these girls' songs, they ministered to me. Though I found it hard to keep my voice steady, my heart was in tune when they sung." Do you allow God's truth to fill your heart when you sing? Or do you just kind of stand and go through the motions? And if singing is a struggle for you, you know, we can get all these songs that we sing at Christ Central and more on Spotify, you know, Apple Music. You can even be old school, put them on your CD player. You know, let these songs, let them carry you through the night. Sing to yourself. But finally this morning, when facing times of spiritual discouragement, remember times of gathering with God's people. You know, if there's one thing that 2020 has taught us, that online church, hey? Online church just doesn't quite cut the mustard, right? Am I right? Yeah, yes. You know, I'm so thankful for the technology. I'm so thankful that it was able to keep some sense of community and those Zoom, you know, gatherings, things like that. That was helpful, live stream, all that stuff. It does serve a purpose. And if you're tuning in this morning, we're so glad you are here. But it's not the same as gathering here in the flesh, yeah? God has made us as physical creatures to be singing his praises, encouraging each other together. You know, awkward times of singing in the lounge to the video, it's not quite the same. But what we're doing here this morning, it's so much more profound than entertaining music and a TED talk, right? When we gather here on a Sunday morning, we gather as God's chosen people. The corporate worship of God's people should never be taken lightly. Our gathering here is supernatural work of God. It's a transaction between us and the living God. And so when the psalmist remembers his times in the temple there in verse 4, it's not just times of sentimental reflection where things were better, of nostalgia, like remembering a great family holiday. No, verse 4, these things I remember as I poured out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. See, the psalmist, he's encouraging his soul with the truth of how real God is by remembering his moments of gathering with God's people. In the midst of times of spiritual discouragement, remember these times when we're with God's people, when your heart was so full of praise and love of what Jesus has done for you. You know, a couple of years ago, maybe you're here on Easter, we had this big wooden cross. I don't know if you guys remember that. And we sung, I think the song we sung after the sermon was Man of Sorrows. And my father-in-law, my in-laws were kind of in town from New South Wales back when they could, still come up. And, my father-in-law, he nearly walked up on stage during the song and he nearly went to like hug the cross. While you guys were all singing, he nearly went to hug this big wooden cross. Can you imagine that? At a Presbyterian church. Whoa. Well, when you invite someone to church, you want them to feel comfortable, right? You want them to make sure that nothing too weird happens. And so normally you're the one thinking about others, right? When you've got a guest coming along, you're not kind of expecting them to do weird stuff, right? You know, I'm not sure how I would have reacted and how my wife would have reacted if he'd actually gone and done that. How would you have reacted? But, even if that's, not the sort of thing that happens here at Christ Central Presbyterian, but isn't there something sort of beautiful about that? You know, he was so moved by the gospel. He was so moved by the song, singing about what Jesus had done on the cross, that he wanted to show his worship, his love in a tangible way and just give the cross a hug. He felt this overwhelming sense of love and gratitude towards Jesus. And that type of awe and love for Jesus is this type of moment that this psalmist has in mind when he reflects on past times in the house of God. And maybe you're not a cross hugger, right? Perhaps only a few of us are. But in times of discouragement, remember when you gathered with God's people and your heart was captivated by his incredible love for you. And whatever that looks like, that's going to be unique for each of us because we're all unique. We need each other, though. We need each other, church, to sit with us in the good times and the bad times, to remind us of the hope we have. See, friends, this side of the cross, we have even greater hope than the psalmist, that even in the midst of spiritual discouragement, we can be sure that we will yet praise him, our Savior and our King. So, church, let's put our hope beyond 2021, beyond your emotions. Put your trust in Jesus. Preach and sing to yourself, and let's keep doing that together this year and however many days Jesus gives us. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you so much for what you've done in Jesus. Thank you so much that you sent him into this world as a man who experienced all the hardships, the hurts, the temptations, the sufferings. And yet, Lord, he was faithful. He was faithful because he loved you. He was submissive to you and he loves us. And Lord, we do pray that as we come and face this year and however many years you give us, you help us as a community, as a family, to keep humbly walking with you. Help us when times are hard to preach and sing the gospel to ourselves. And help us, Lord Jesus, to be doing that together as a family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.